happened. It's an absolutely amazing statement in verse number 50 of our text. You see, in just a few hours, Jesus is going to be nailed to the cross for the sin of mankind. And it was on this night that he prayed his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, because the sin of all mankind for all the ages was being laid upon him. And yet in his darkest hour, he looks at his betrayer and calls him friend. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says of Jesus, in him there of whom there was no guile. He didn't look at him and tell a lie. He honestly, in his heart, regarded Judas as a friend. Not our message for today, but there's a lesson there. No matter what our circumstances, if we are right with God, we can still be tender even to those who betray us. Didn't Jesus tell us to pray for those that despitefully use you and mistreat you? And Jesus honestly held Judas as a friend. You think of King David when Ahithophel came and he was that sweet counselor of David and he betrayed him. In Psalms 41:9, a precursor, a prophecy to this passage right here, it says, "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." The word friend or friends is found 102 times in your King James Bible. Webster's 1828 dictionary attaches the following definitions. One who is attached to another by affection. One who entertains for another sentiments of esteem, respect, affection, which lead him to desire his company. One not hostile, opposed as an enemy in war. One reconciled after enmity. I like that. An attendant, a companion, a favorer, a favorite, a term of salutation. There are some people in the Bible that God referred to as friends. How about Moses? The Bible says in Exodus 33:11, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend," the Bible says. Abraham in James chapter 2:23 says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Lazarus in John 11:11, Jesus speaking of him, and he was talking to his disciples, and they didn't understand. He said, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. I go that I may awake him." He called him a friend. Today is our friend day. And G. Campbell Morgan said this, "A man may have many acquaintances in life, but few friends." I'm glad for the friends that I've made in my life. And by the way, scripturally, if you're going to have friends, the Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself. "Well, I don't understand why I don't have any friends." Well, you're like Eeyore, amen? "It's dull, gee, I can't have any friends." Hey, be friendly and you'll have friends. We think about this. I've had the privilege, honestly, and I go back, and I know some of you have lived a much longer life. I've had the privilege to live an unusual life. So if you come to me and say, "Pastor, you're an unusual man," I'll understand what you mean. And my wife will laugh and say, "Boy, you don't know the half of it." Amen. Boy, is he unusual. But I've had different stages of life. I've had the athletic portion of life where I was a three-sport athlete in high school. And then I had the part of my life where I went out and started working, making friends in the workforce. And then I had the part of my life where I didn't know God and completely rebelled against Him and got into different things that it's a shame to even speak of, the Bible says. But I'm so glad that through all those different stages, there have been friends. 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 You know, your friends will check you. Amen? Your friends will keep you in check, won't they? Your friends will challenge you. And by the way, whether they're good or bad, your friends will change you. Somebody says, in the course of life, you will either change your convictions or change your friends. I want to preach you a simple message today about friends. The outline is this, if you're keeping outline. Friends to keep. And then in quotation marks, number two, friends to keep away from. And then a friend to keep close to. First of all, let me tell you this, friends to keep. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. The first kind of friends I'd encourage you to keep are loyal friends. 2 Timothy 1:2 says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God and our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. See, I believe that Paul writing to Timothy because Timothy was a loyal friend. Can I say, ladies and gentlemen, that a missing characteristic in our day with friendship is loyalty? I have many friends. And I tell them, listen, if you need me, I'm there. I'm there. If you really need me and you say, I've got to have you here, Rich or Pastor or wherever I am in your life, you say, I'll be there. You know, Sam Rayburn was the Speaker of the House during World War II. He's actually the longest serving speaker. And it came to Mr. Rayburn's attention one day that a friend of his had a teenage daughter that had died suddenly. And Sam Rayburn came over to that house first thing in the morning and he knocked on the door. And that man, brokenhearted, came to the door and he saw the Speaker of the House of the United States at his door. And Mr. Rayburn said, I just came by to see what I could do to help. And he said, well, Mr. Speaker, we're making all the arrangements right now and I don't really think there's anything you can do. Thank you for coming, though. And Mr. Rayburn said, have you had your coffee this morning? He said, no, we just haven't had time to make coffee. And he said, well, please let me come in and make you coffee. And as he was making coffee and working in the kitchen, and he said, the man said to him, he said, Mr. Speaker, I thought you were supposed to have breakfast with the president this morning. Mr. Rayburn said, I was supposed to have breakfast with the president this morning, but I told him I had a friend who was in trouble and I couldn't come. Hey, that's the kind of friends we ought to hang on to, ladies and gentlemen. A loyal friend. Loyal friends are friends to keep. I know that I have friends. If I was to call them in the middle of the night and say, I need you, they'd be there. Hey, God help us to be that kind of friend. Amen. A loyal friend. So another kind of friend to keep, not only a loyal friend, but a loving friend. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. Job 6:14, to him that is afflicted, pity should be showed by his friend. And boy, didn't Job know something about that with his friends. We don't need those kind of friends. Amen. But hey, listen, sadly, in our independent Baptist movement, one of the things we're famous for is we're famous for the three cuss. What's the three cuss? The King James, culottes, and a cantankerous spirit. That's a fundamentalists are famous for that, amen? But something else we're famous for, Brother Sammons, is shooting our wounded. We're famous for that. We're famous for that, Brother Newbill. We know what we ought to do when a friend falls? Pick him up. Hey, listen, the Bible talks about that in Galatians, that we're to do that in the spirit of meekness and fear, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Hey, we need loving friends. Sometimes we need a friend who's going to tell us what we don't want to hear. Hey, I've learned this having children. Sometimes true love is tough love. Amen. Yeah, Eric likes the word sorry. No, he doesn't like the word sorry, but we make him say it all the time. And we get this, sorry! That's how it normally comes out, amen? Because we're going to give him some tough love, because we do love him. And listen, sometimes a friend, we get talking with a friend, and sometimes we just want our friend to just agree with us. As a youth pastor, I got that all the time. They wanted to come in, Brother Horst, and they want me to rubber stamp what they wanted to do. And I said, no. No, this is what God says. That's a real friend, by the way. Somebody tell you what God says. Amen. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thank God for loyal friends. Thank God for loving friends. By the way, sometimes we just need a shoulder to cry on. That's just life, folks. Amen. We need friends. Sometimes we need to take a walk and have a talk. And can we say this sometimes about our friends, Brother Howland? Sometimes we need to be sit down and talked by our friends. Friends sometimes need to sit us down and say, listen, you're going the wrong direction. Let me help you. I'm your friend. Loving friends. Loyal friends. A real friend tells you what you need to hear instead of what you want to hear. Friends to keep. Loyal, loving. How about lifting friends? Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. There are times when you just need to be around your friend. Appreciated Mrs. Phelps coming down the stairs this morning, and I was coming up. I was just kind of going through all the Sunday school class. She said, Pastor Sullivan says hello. And those of you that don't know, Pastor Mike Sullivan, about my best friend in the ministry. He's about this tall. Amen. I just kid with him all the time. I said, we look around, we look like the Bobbsey twins or Mutt and Jeff, you know. I mean, up and down and up and down. I said, if he walked behind me, you couldn't see him. Amen. But we are buddies. And I'm telling you, I said to him, I talked to him on the phone yesterday. And I said, I need to come up there and see you. I need to just spend a couple days with you because you're my friend. Don't you have friends like that? You just like being around them. We've got friends we love to go on vacation with and do these different things. They just lift you up. Just being around them lifts you up. You know, David and Jonathan were like that, weren't they? They had that beautiful friendship that the Bible says passes the love of women. And by the way, don't let the sodomites steal that verse, amen. It doesn't mean what they say it means. It means they just loved each other, amen. Just love being around each other. Oh, that we would have friends like that that are loyal and loving and lifting, and then we would thank God for them. Those are friends to keep, and all God's people said. But there are not only friends to keep, but there are also some friends to keep away from. There are some quote-unquote friends to keep away from. People are judged by the company that they keep and by the company that they keep away from. You want a good example of that? Hey, we're coming up into the political season. Oh, Lord, here comes a political message. No, I promise. No. Pulpit's too sacred for that. Amen. Hey, you know what, though? I could tell a lot about a guy by who's standing next to him. Amen. I can tell you there's a certain guys I'm not going to vote for if I see certain people standing next to him. Because I know those certain people stand for abortion. I need to know those certain people stand for sodomy as being an alternative lifestyle. I know that just looking out at them. I don't need to be around them. I don't need to vote for them. I know them by the company they keep. And may it be said about us that we are also judged by the company that we keep and the company that we keep away from. Let me tell you the first kind of group that I keep away from is those that compromise. Those that compromise. And can I say especially, I'm a preacher. There are certain preachers that I don't associate with because they compromise on the Bible. I'm not going to associate with them. We're not going to be friends for very long. Those that compromise. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Hey, listen, there are things that I believe in this book that are not for sale. Amen? They're not for sale. And I'm not compromising. They're not preference. They're conviction. So I keep away from compromisers. Because you know what? If you listen to a compromiser long enough, you know what he'll get you to do? To look at the life of Lot. It's a study in compromise. What happened? Compromise after compromise after compromise. Ended up drunk in a cave. Terrible end. So I stay away from compromisers. I encourage you to do the same. For another friend to keep away from, and not only compromisers, but criticizers. Criticizers. Winston Churchill and George Bernard Shaw were never exactly what you would call friends. Shaw, in particular, never missed an opportunity to kind of give a jab to Mr. Churchill. And one time he sent him two tickets to the opening night of one of his plays with a message attached. Dear Winston, here are two tickets. Bring a friend if you have one. But those of you that know Churchill's wit and wisdom, it came back with a note that he said, Dear Mr. Shaw, unfortunately, a prior engagement prevents me from attending opening night. But I would like a ticket for the second night, if there is one. Coming right back, amen. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we talked about it last week in our message, and we'll not tarry long, but there will always be criticizers. There will always be people that criticize. Listen, I just don't want to be around them. They put my spirit in the dumps, amen? I'm not going to have friends that I'm going to go a long way to see that it's just going to be criticizing and criticizing and criticizing. No. Job 32:3, also against his three friends was his wrath kindled because they had found no answer and yet condemned Job. Well, Job, there's a reason. Obviously, this is happening to you. You're obviously not right with God. You've got a problem in your relationship with God, and it was none of that. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, don't be a criticizer. Don't be a criticizer. Some people, the only words that come out of their mouth are critical words. Don't be that. Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. If you're a criticizer, mark it down. You're the kind of friend I want to keep away from. But not only criticizers and not only compromisers, but I think also of friends to keep away from. I think of crafty workers. 2 Samuel 13:3 tells us the story of Amnon. And he fell sick for his stepsister Tamar and committed a lewd act with her. But what happened? What moved him, Brother Phelps, to commit that lewd act? The Bible says, but Amnon had a friend. And his name was Jonadab, and he was a very subtle man. And he gave Amnon the words that he needed and the encouragement to do the wrong thing. Hey, listen, let me talk to you young people for a minute. You got friends that are encouraging you to get away from the house of God and do things that you know you shouldn't do. You need to get away from them. Friends to keep away from are those that are crafty workers. They'll say, I know Pastor says this, and I know Pastor John says this, but hey, who cares? Let's do our own thing. Get away from them. Because I promise you that many a life has been ruined by a friend. Many a life. Friends to keep, loyal, loving, lifting. Friends to keep away from, compromisers, criticizers, crafty workers. And let me tell you the rest of the message, a friend to keep close to. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Song of Solomon 5:16 says, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend. And can I tell you who that is, ladies and gentlemen? It's the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to be your friend today. Can I say this? Something about him is he died for your friendship. The Bible says in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The Lord Jesus Christ, He came to this earth and He lived that perfect, sinless life. And you know what He did for you? He died for your friendship. He died so that you could be His friend, so that He could be your friend. Is there anything that proves the love greater than dying for another? That's a friend. Hey, listen, a lot of you I love in the Lord. You're my brothers and sisters. But I promise you, there's only a few people in this room I'll die for. Why? Because that's just miraculous love. And listen, the Bible says that Jesus died for the ungodly. When no one else would care about, Jesus died. And He died for you today, friend. To be your friend. Oh, what a friend. What a friend is that? Not only does He die for your friendship, but if you're a Christian, you know the Lord, He defends your friendship. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. When the devil comes and says, well, this person does this and this and this and this, Jesus says, Your Honor, may I have the floor? I shed my blood to cover, to cleanse all their sins. What is your verdict? And He says, I see the blood. I see the blood. I don't see the sins. Aren't you glad you have an advocate, ladies and gentlemen? Aren't you glad that He not only died for your friendship, but He defends your friendship? Oh, but there's something else. He deserves your friendship. He deserves your friendship. Zechariah 13:6 a prophecy of when the Lord comes back. I know Brother Becker's been teaching through Zechariah. And one will say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, why does he deserve your friendship? Well, he came for you. He was born in that colt stable for you. He lived for you. He lived that sinless, perfect life, suffered hunger, thirst, went through every temptation that you and I would for you, for me. He was beaten for you. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in Mark that they smote him on the head with a reed. Who was that? Who was that for? So he could be your friend. So he could be your friend. So he could be my friend. He was spat upon. Is there anything more vulgar or profane, Brother Holy, than to have somebody spit right in your face? His beard was plucked out for your friendship. He wore the crown of thorns for your friendship. He died that cruel death as they nailed his hands and his feet to the cross. Why? Because he said, I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. And he died there on the cross. And as they got ready to break his legs, they saw that he was already dead. And they put the spear in his side and blood and water came out. Can I say something else, ladies and gentlemen? He didn't stay dead. That's why if you're a guest here, you'll notice there's a cross up there, but you'll notice there's not anybody on it. Because he didn't stay dead. The next 3 days, he rose from the dead. Why? Because he said, I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. And he went and rose and he offered his blood as a sacrifice once for all for the sins of mankind. And he ascended up to heaven and he intercedes. And the Bible says in John 14 that he's preparing a place for us. And one day he's going to come back. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to call his friends home. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, He died for your friendship. He defends your friendship. He deserves your friendship. Hey, they're friends to keep. They're loyal. They're loving. They're lifting. They're friends to keep away from the compromisers, criticizers, crafty workers. Oh, but that friend to keep close to. He died for your friendship. He defends your friendship and He deserves your friendship. How about it here today? Do you know Christ as your Savior? If you don't, you know what He wants to be? He wants to be your friend. And He's earned it. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes.